Morning, everybody. We just have a bit of shush. Linda? I'd like to welcome the councillors and staff and declare the meeting open at 10 a.m. This meeting is conducted in accordance with the Local Government Act 1993 and the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation of 2025. All councillors are reminded of their obligation to act in the best interest of the community and to declare any interest in matters to be discussed. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawup people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connection to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respect to the elders past and present. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to advise you that today's council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that members of the public who are unable to attend in person can still observe the proceedings. By remaining in this chamber, you're consenting to being filmed and recorded. Please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. 26.1.1 is who is present. 26.1.2, we have apologies, Councillor Gary Barnes. 26.1.3, we have a leave of absence of Councillor Kylie Wright. And 26.1.4, we have the staff in attendance. 26.2.0 is public question time. So in accordance with Regulation 33-38 of the Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulations 2025, questions, whether from the members of the public or councillors, must relate to the functions or activities of council, must not be defamatory, offensive or disrupt the orderly conduct of the meeting. A question asked at a meeting is to be concise, be clear, not a statement, and have minimal preamble. General statements are not permitted during question time. Members of the public and councillors may ask up to 4 questions per meeting. The chairperson reserves the right to refuse a question in accordance with the regulations. If a question is refused, the reason will be stated and recorded in the minutes. So, do we have any questions from members of the public? Graham, would you like to come forward, please, and just take a seat and state your name?
Graham Watson. I've pruned the preamble as much as I can.
I will keep you up to that, Graham.
In recent months, the matter of the need for improved scenic protection requirements in the Breaker Day planning system has been raised at the 2025 AGM, questions from the public, and apparently at council workshops. In addition, there are public concerns about strata and cluster developments and potential subdivisions within the coastal zone because these developments threaten the existing scenic landscape, and effective scenic protection controls would go a long way to allay these concerns. The Council has announced that work has already commenced on investigating the application of scenic area overlays and that a project brief is currently being developed for Council's consideration. As the main beneficiaries of scenic protection codes are the residents and visitors of Breaker Day, my questions relate to the process and detail of the proposed project brief for this important project. One. Do councillors have a vision for the scenic protection of the Breaker Day coastline, particularly for the coastal zone between Douglas River and Diana's Basin? 2. As the proposed project brief concerns scenic protection overlays, as distinct from scenic road corridors, do councillors have views on input to the critical parameters for scenic protection, which are the scenic values and the management objectives for the scenic areas overlays? 3. Instead of the usual council process of in-house development with later public consultation, will the council seek early community input to the preparation of the project brief, including the selection of the scenic areas, the determination of scenic values, and the management objectives, by setting up a community-based representative advisory committee to provide such inputs? 4. Will the council take steps to prevent inappropriate development in the coastal areas in the interim between now and when a revised scenic code is promulgated?
Thank you very much for those questions, Graeme. If you would pass that up to Linda,
there
will be a response in 7 working days. Do we have any further questions from members of the public? Councillor Carter.
Thank you. My question is on behalf of Gail and Peter Poulsen. It's in regards to tree planting for Sandy von Stieglitz. We represent a small group of friends and colleagues of Sandy von Stieglitz, who sadly passed away in January last year. Sandy was a dedicated volunteer at the tip shop in St Helens and Scamander for many years and was well respected and loved by fellow volunteers and the general community. We are honouring Sandy's last wishes, along with that of her son Ashley, by planting flowering gums along the Scamander River with an application to the Breakaday Council. We very much appreciate the support given by Council for this proposal. About 14 months have passed since the application for Council to plant flowering gums near the boat ramp at the Scamander River. Currently, we've raised enough funds to secure those trees with the generosity of Paul Fratter, and on his advice, the optimal time for planting is early next month. As we understand it, we're still waiting for the final sign-off by Parks and Wildlife for this to proceed. So the question is, can we ask the Council to exercise its influence with Parks to bring this application to a conclusion as soon as possible? Time is of the essence. Peter and Gail Poulsen.
Thank you for that, Ian. You know the drum. If you could give that to Linda, there will be a response in 7 working days. Have we got any further questions from members of the public? If we have none, we'll move to 26.3.0, as councillors' questions on notice, which we have nil. 26.4.0, as councillors' questions without notice. Do we have any questions? Councillor Johnston.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. My question is to the General Manager, which I have already advised him on. So it is actually on without notice, but on notice to him already. In the February Council meeting, I put a procedural motion to defer consideration to a future Council meeting of the officer's recommendations in relation to the motion that Breakaday Council support the following recommendations to protect the scenic and natural values of Breakaday coastlines. That included a ban on strata titles and multiple dwellings for tourism accommodation outside of service settlements, reintroduction of the prohibition on subdivision within 1 kilometre of the coast outside of settlements to prevent ribbon development and unrelated cluster development, 3 higher standards for stormwater management than those in the current Breakaday storm water special area plan, I think it is SAP, to protect coastal waterways and wetlands, water quality and ecosystems, and establish a comprehensive and effective scenic protection codes which preserves the scenic beauty of the Breakaday municipality. Due to my elderly mother requiring my support in Melbourne, I was unable to attend the March workshop. I did come to the council chambers and inform the general manager of the situation and that I would be an apology for the March workshop. Therefore, my question is, what is common practice when a councillor puts in a procedural motion for a motion to be considered at a future workshop meeting, and is unable to attend the next workshop due to, in my case, a family issue? Would it not be appropriate for the said procedural motion or consideration of that motion to be put to a later workshop when the proponent of the motion was in attendance? Could be in attendance.
Thank you. If you could also lodge that Linda.
Yes.
And John, I don't know whether you want to deal with this now as we normally don't.
Yep. Yes, Mr. Mayor, that's straightforward, this one. So we just followed the normal process, which is there's the decision, which was to defer to a future meeting. So as per normal practice, we take it back to the workshop that's after the meeting to try and get the direction which was there, but unfortunately we weren't able to make it to that particular workshop. So it's completely up to council as to when they consider this and the process moving forward from this, but we did follow the normal process, which we do with that one. So just unfortunately you weren't able to attend due to your situation with your mother.
So, and we do not have any debate on this question without notice.
With all due respect, ma'am, can I
with all due respect, I have to follow the meeting regulations and there is no debate.
Oh, this is not a debate. That's answered one part of the question. The other one is, would it not have been, and maybe you can answer that, would it not have been preferable if we could have actually deferred it to the next workshop that I was in attendance? There's two questions there, and maybe you would like to take that bit on notice and respond.
No, it's obviously... It was a decision of council. The council workshops and meetings run on the decisions of council. So whilst you were the mover of it, it was a collective council decision to bring it there. Just unfortunately, you weren't there. So what I'm saying is it will be a decision of council on the current agenda, whether they deal with it today or whether it gets deferred to a workshop yet again. So that will be the process which we'll need to follow.
Okay. And that's where we'll stop it today. We've had the question... And we don't have any more debate or answer on that one until we get to the relevant items. Do we have any further questions without notice? If we have no further, we'll go to 26.5.0, a declaration of interest of a council or a close associate. We have none. 26.6.1 is the confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting held on the 16th of February. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Chappell. Have we got any concerns with the minutes or anything we'd like to discuss? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried. Councillor Johnson, was you at that meeting? You're voting?
Which meeting?
The last council meeting.
Yes.
You're voting?
Yes.
Unanimous, thank you. 26.7.0 is the council workshop, which has been held since the 16th of February for your information. 26.8.0 is the planning authority, and pursuant to Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the Mayor is to inform the Council it's now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move that we go into planning? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Whittaker. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. So 26.8.1 is DA 154. Alex, would you like to walk us through this development application, please?
Yep, certainly. So first application, DA 154 of 2025, is for a shipping container and associated signage at 6602 Eskimane Road, St Mary's. So the applicant is seeking approval for the placement of a 20-foot shipping container, which will be welded shut with associated signage at the subject site. The signage will be displayed on three sides of the shipping container structure, which is intended to be located 15 metres north of the southern boundary adjoining the Eskimane Road, with messaging that includes side A is tree farming for the future, side B, where cows graze and carbon stays, and side C, stems for CO2 project logo and the associated tagline. This application was discretionary on four performance criteria. So three of those performance criteria were associated with the sign code, and the last performance criteria was associated with the scenic protection code. During the advertising period of this application, we did receive three representations, and the first representation that we received had the following concerns. So they objected to the unnecessary advertising near the highway. Just in response to that, so while the objection is noted, please refer to the officer's completed assessment with regard to the relevant performance criteria relating to the scenic protection code. The second issue was they assert that the proposed signage and shipping container are excessively large and will impact the scenic beauty of the drive in St Mary's, in addition to distracting drivers. In response to that concern, the signage is intended to be attached to a 6 metre by 2.4 metre shipping container with a total height of 2.6 metres. The dimensions for the signage are compliant with the sign standards required for billboards as seen in planning and the planning officer's completed assessment. The size of the shipping container is quite minor in comparison to existing outbuildings currently existing on the subject site and surrounding properties. The third issue was they concluded that the sign does not add anything to the rural nature of the valley and does not contribute towards the local community. Just in response to that, the purpose of the signage is to advertise and notify commuters and surrounding landowners of the shelter belt planting project that will be undertaken on the subject site. The second representation had one issue and was largely to do with just objecting to the proposed signage due to the size, the visual impact and the impact on the scenic views and the political nature of the signage. Once again, while the objection is noted, the planning officer's assessment demonstrates how this application can achieve the relevant performance criteria. Furthermore, the proposed signage is considered as being a third-party sign. Assessment was required against performance criteria P1 of the relevant clause in the sign code. As outlined in representation one, it is worth noting that the purpose of the sign is to advertise and notify commuters of the project. Representation three, in a similar manner, their first issue was to do with the excessive size of the signage and that it will be larger than existing signage within the Fingal Valley, with reference being made to signs for shelter belts. So while the concerns of the signage are noted, the potential visual impact and the surrounding landscape and character of the area was taken into consideration, as demonstrated in the completed assessment. It is worth noting that there are exemptions within the Tasmanian planning scheme which could hypothetically facilitate the construction of large outbuilding structures exceeding 100 metres squared, which could pose a certain level of visual impact from the Esk Main Road, with regard being given to the listed exemptions. Notably, the referenced outbuilding exemptions do not specify colour or reflectivity considerations or requirements. The second issue was significant visual impact when travelling to and from the area, with further reference being given to the recent council refusal of the Telstra Tower. Assert that the signage will have a similar impact on the local area with regard being given the scenic and heritage values, further noting the interruption of sight lines to the nearby bushland and not being consistent with the surrounding area. While the comparison has been noted with regards to the Telstra Tower application, the current proposal for signage attached to the shipping container, which has a total height of 2.6 metres, is quite different in scope and location to that prior application. The third issue, which is quite similar to the second issue, is they suggest that any sign should be no bigger than the sign which currently indicates an existing shelter belt on the highway that was planted by the students of St Mary's School. The fourth matter was they assert that the proposed signage is a political statement which may provoke dissent and division within the community and question the need for the signage. As outlined within the above representations, the purpose of the signage is to advertise and notify commuters and surrounding landowners of the shelter belt planting projects that will be undertaken on the property. The content is specific to a project occurring on a property and does not appear to incite, antagonise or display graphic or controversial matters. Their last concern was that they believe that the proposed signage was unable to meet performance criteria P2 of the relevant clause from the Scenic Protection Code with regard being given to their previous points. And similarly, while the objection is noted, through the officer's assessment, the performance criteria was demonstrated as being satisfied. My recommendation is for approval of this application subject to listed conditions, and just noting the inclusion of the condition regarding the removal of the shipping container and signage upon completion of the project. But should they wish to include new signage of the container, they'll need to apply for a new application.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Lefevre. Councillor Whittaker, would you like to speak to the DA?
Yeah, thanks for that, Alex. Just to say that I'm happy for it to be approved. I have seen similar signage just north of Oatlands only a week or two ago, so it's not in my sort.
I saw it as a positive initiative, and I put my education hat on and was thinking of families travelling through, looking at the signage, and thought children will be asking questions like, how do you farm trees, what's carbon, what has carbon got to do with cows? So I think it's going to create awareness and be really good.
Thank you, Councillor Thurber. I'd like to speak against this development application. Councillor Johnston.
First of all, when can I ask a question? How long does the project go for? Like, how long will the signage be there?
In terms of its duration, I'm not entirely sure, but it's being conditioned that once it is complete, they'll need to remove it. So if they don't comply with that condition, it'll be a compliance matter.
That's just, for me, that's quite difficult to... that it finishes, we're putting a condition, but we don't know when it's going to finish. So that's the first thing. I'm wondering if this will set a precedent for big, large signs on what we are talking about the need for scenic values. People do drive down the Esk Highway. It is a beautiful valley. There are reasons people love to, when there is scenic values there. So that for me is also a concern. It's not a concern what is being written on it, but large signs telling us about the beauty of the area and the need to look after it. I'm not convinced that's the way to go. And I'm concerned that it sets a precedent for large signs that may have different things on them.
Councillor Chaplin.
I also have exactly the same thing, concerns about city precedent for multiple advertising along the city corridors, and I know in workshop we could discuss this, but it might be something the council might need to look at. It'll be such a thing to see that it gets taken advantage of and starts to happen multiple times, which is fine. You mentioned that it's for actually advertising of a shelter belt. Is that correct?
Yes. So
to me, a shelter belt is a permanent row of trees that just stay there for their enduring lifetime, as opposed to a plantation which would be done for so many years and then logged as time. So to me, that would also mean, if it's a permanent shelter belt, that it is a permanent structure that stays there, because that shelter belt won't be ending for 20, 30, 40, 70, 150 years. Depends what type of trees they actually put in there.
Alex, would you just like to clarify that, if I may? Councillor Chaplin raised a valid point. This is more about the planning of the shelter belt, not the lifetime of the shelter belt. So
I think we need
to have some clarification there for Councillor Chapel to be able to understand what the development application is for. From what you said, it's not for the shelter belt, it's for the planting of the shelter belt. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, that is correct.
Thank you. So it's only for the planning. Any further questions? Councillor Fu? Any further questions?
Councillor? Can you, just on that, so what you're saying, because that was, I raised the same concern about the length of how long the project is. So are we saying it's only, they're going to put all this investment into something of this size just for the planting of the shelter belt?
Alex, if you wouldn't mind responding, so that we can get some clarification before we go to the vote. The detail from what I took out of your explanation is for the planting of the shelter belt, not for the lifetime of the shelter belt.
So the signage, the whole purpose of the signage is to basically notify commuters that there is a shelter belt project being undertaken on the land, so the actual planting of that shelter belt. The signage isn't going to, you know, be for, you know, just a notified that there is you know, that shelter belt, I suppose, in perpetuity. It's just while that planting's being undertaken.
Alex, would it be prudent to have a consideration of at the end of planting there is a 12 months lifespan or something like that, so that there would be an end date for the removal of it as a condition, so that when it is completed, obviously everybody wants to see them grow to be able to understand it, so that there a potential condition of the removal would be within a 12 month period at the end of planting or something like that?
That would be a reasonable inclusion.
Councillor Chappell, would that satisfy you?
I'm happy with that. I just wanted, again, thank you for the clarification of if it's planting, well, that could just take over a 6 month period, that's fine, and then probably allow that signage to remain there for just a bit longer, just to say, hey, brand new shelter belt, this is what it's for, and then it's taken down.
Where do we go to get a condition put on?
So, through Mr. Mayor, that. So we're talking within 12 months of the...
Just an example, what would be a time frame that everybody would be satisfied with after completion of the shelter belt for the removal? I suppose that's what we're getting to.
Yeah. So we would need to put that within there, Mr. Mayor, because in the conditions 2B, it's upon completion of the project and to be maintained at all times. So it would be a case of amending the timing piece there to within 12 months, if that's what Council's saying, of completion of the project. Instead of upon, it would be within 12 months of completion or within 24 months or whatever Council's saying.
I think it would be, if I may, as Mayor, I think I'd love to see the trees get to a certain height, 12 months, 2 years, so that people can say, oh, that's the shelter belt that was planted, look at
that's
them.
A time.
Now it's time to move the container.
Just put.
I'm not stuck on any time frame. I'm just trying to satisfy the ambiguity of what could be forever versus a condition with a time frame, that's all.
Of the plant.
It would help me, at least. I know you're working with the Deputy Mayor to see where...
With all councillors.
I feel like it would be good to understand when the completion of the project is, because my understanding with these types of projects is that actually 30-year projects. Mm. This is what I understand them to be, that they're 30-year projects, and if that is what they're saying, that, you know, it's a 30-year project, and normally they do actually get cut. But anyway, I don't know the ins and outs of this particular project. But if it's 30 years, what we're saying, yes, you can do it until, have it there until the end of the project. What we're saying is 30 years plus a year. I hear what you're saying there, that once they're planted, but I don't know how many shelter belts it is. It might be, well, you know, we do this here and then. All I'm saying, because of the wording about at the end of the project, that's when it comes down, but we don't actually know when the project finishes. That's a condition. It just doesn't sound clear to me.
If I may, from the officer's recommendation, this actually complies with the signage code, so we have nowhere to go. As far as it meets the size description of the signage code, it's just this, it being a container instead of a billboard, so it fits. I think to take the ambiguity, if everybody would consider that we had on that condition 12 months of the planting being completed, because if it takes them 3 years to plant it, it doesn't tell us in the application, and we can't assess what they may do. We have to assess what's in front of us. Alex, would you be able to just perhaps give us a little bit more information, because I would like to move on if everybody's satisfied, but we need to be consistent with what good governance is to be able to have oversight for compliance on this.
Yep. Certainly. So I do agree with that suggestion that within the 12 months or 2 year period, whatever council decide in terms of time period of the planting being completed, for the structure to be removed. But again, you know, my understanding is that this is just simple notification of a project that's just being undertaken.
Councillor Oldham, you had your hand up.
Mr. Mayor, just the same. It's spelt out there in front of us that it's going to be removed within the 12 months. Isn't that all we need to know?
Of the completion of the project.
Planting being completed.
Time.
Okay.
Oh, that's different. Yep, planting, yep.
Is everybody happy with that? Satisfied? Alex,
so,
John?
Three, Mr. Mayor. We have a mover and a seconder for the original, so I will want a mover and a seconder for that amendment.
Which can't be the first two.
Yep, correct.
So can I have something? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Carter. Now I'll take that to the vote. It's basically an amendment to that.
Yep.
So I'll take that to the vote, Councillor Fever, Councillor Carter. The amendment, is everybody happy with that? All in favour? Carried unanimous. So that amendment now becomes a motion. I'm going to take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. So that will become a condition that Alex will put in the development application. Thank you. 26.8.2 is DA221, St Helens Point Road, Stiglitz. Would you like to walk us through this one, please, Alex?
Certainly. So this application is for the additional use for visitor accommodation of an existing two-bedroom dwelling at 35 St Helens Point Road. This application was discretionary on two matters, the first one being that the dwelling is located in a coastal erosion investigation area overlay and is also in a high landslip hazard area as well. So during the advertising period for this application, there was one representation that was received, with three matters being raised. So the first one being the representative claimed that they were not notified of the initial application previously lodged, nor of the current application. So just responding to that, the latest version of the development application form included all affected landowners within the section of the form titled If Applicant Is Not the Owner and was signed by the applicant. In response to this assertion, the applicant was contacted and confirmation was sought as to whether all affected landowners as part of this application were notified in accordance with Section 52, subsection 1 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act. It was noted within the planning officer's correspondence that should a representation be received and potential appeal lodged, the matter will be further determined by the Tasmanian Civil Administrative Tribunal. The applicant provided written confirmation via email on the 11th of February that all affected landowners were notified of the current application. Additionally, the applicant further reiterated during a meeting conducted on the 18th of February that all affected landowners were notified. The second matter, they have issues with the encroachment of the existing concrete driveway into 37 St Helens Point Road, and note that the matter has been raised with the applicant but has not been resolved. In response, while the encroachment of the driveway into 37 St Helens Point Road is largely a civil matter, it is recognised that the inclusion of an appropriate condition that requires the applicant to obtain legal means of access across both the footway and 37 St Helens Point Road will be necessary. The timing of compliance with the condition will be prior to the commencement of the additional use for visitor accommodation, and will be required to be maintained at all times. And their last matter, which relates to the first one, was questions whether the owners of the adjoining footway have been notified of the current application. My recommendation is for approval of the application, subject to the conditions, just noting that condition 3A requiring legal access.
Thank you very much, Alex. Somebody move the officer's recommendation. Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Councillor Fever, you'd like to speak to us?
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chappell?
I've just got a question.
Yes, you certainly may.
So I note that one of the conditions is that we need to get this in writing for the access, and then I note on the representative's last sentence is we will not allow access to number 35. So we're at an impasse then.
Okay.
Correct. So it'll be up to...
So where does that leave us? So we just approve it and then it's for them just to fight out?
They'll have to find a solution to that issue.
Thank you.
Yep. That's all good.
Would you like to speak against the application?
It's not against, it's just a clarification much along the line of what Councillor Chappell just asked. I actually got quite confused reading this, so I went and visited the site. So almost the entirety of the access into that site is going across the land adjacent to it, which is then require permission to access it. One of the concerns that I have in that is it's described as a footway, and there's some ambiguity around who owns it and who doesn't, but my point there is there's a concrete driveway across what is apparently a footway, so any development in the future is encumbered anyway. And I think that the whole notion of coming to some agreement through legal precedent is fine, but in reality that these people are accessing their land via everybody else's land. Not only does the road encumber that site, but also there's a retaining wall which is moving into that site as well. So I just think the whole thing needs to be cleaned up in terms of using other people's land to access your place. And I know, and I agree with what Alex is recommending here in terms of a legal answer to this question, but I think that is extremely problematic and will create problems for us in the future if it isn't resolved.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. Alex, would you like to respond in any way to that? I mean, obviously, to me, we're potentially passing a development application that will never go ahead unless there is legal tenure that's been to be recognised. So basically, that's where we are. Am I correct?
Correct, and it is unfortunate. I know this is a historic subdivision and there's been some issues with it, but it does appear that this isn't just one property that has an issue with this. I think it's multiple along that whole stretch. I think we'll find that probably some of them are encroaching into each other's properties, but in this instance anyway, I think my opinion is that the only way forward is for with that inclusion of the condition, but it will be up to the parties to resolve the matter.
Okay. Thank you. If we have any further comments on this? Everybody satisfied with the understanding of what we're dealing there? The application can't go ahead unless there is legal tenure agreed through obviously civil legal matters. So I'll take this to the vote.
Sorry, Matt. So they know that, and they're still putting it up.
Well, there's nothing wrong. Johnson, in putting it forward.
Yeah.
But knowing that if they don't get this legally approved, they've done all this work, and that's at their choice.
Yeah.
We can't stop people from making those choices.
I
100% understand what you just said, but the reality is, if you go and look at that site, they will find it very difficult to create a legal access into that site anyway. They're going to have to take out quite a number of trees and then put a very steep driveway in there. So you would think the best outcome is an agreement, legal agreement. But I would say if they don't get a legal agreement, then it's almost impossible to legally not trespass to get to their site.
I think everybody is aware of the situation, including the people who are putting in the development application. So we'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried. Councillor Carter? Against. So 26.8.3 is DA220. Alex, would you like to talk? Oh, not Alex, it's Rebecca. Good morning, Rebecca.
I changed your seats.
Nice to see you back again. Would you like to take us through this one, please?
Sure, thank you. So before us we have DA 2024-220 of that year. The application is for construction of a new single dwelling and secondary residence, including placement of a shipping container, together with associated car parking, on-site wastewater management system, water storage tanks and retaining wall at a property located at 24309 Tasman Highway, St Helens. Now, the application originally was advertised seeking to rely on 8 performance criteria, 2 in relation to the particular purpose zone One in, related to height, exceeding the acceptable solution in height, and the other two were in relation to setback due to the proximity to the frontage of the property as well as to the side setbacks. The reliance on codes were in regard to construction of gravel car parking and accessways. In terms of C3, the habitable building is within 50 metres of the road attenuation area. That's due to the proximity to the Tasman Highway. And then we've got performance criteria in regards to priority vegetation overlay, noting that the subject site has had clearance in years gone by and there's a significant amount of just regrowth, predominantly of ferns and grasses of the site. So the eighth performance criteria that the original application relied upon was actually in the particular purpose zone, and that related to overshadowing and particularly sunlight to habitable rooms and private open space on adjacent properties. The application was advertised in accordance with the requirements of the legislation, and one representation was received. The representation received was from the southern adjacent property owners. And their concerns primarily were regarding particularly their sunlight into their window of their kitchen, as well as a glazed entry door to their on their northern side of their dwelling. With that in mind, the proponent went back to the drawing board and considered things that might reduce that potential impact on the adjacent neighbour. And we've had a revised set of plans submitted to us, and that's actually the set of plans that are before you for assessment now. They've superseded those that were advertised, and we've got a fresh set. And when I say a fresh set, there's just a few things that they've altered slightly. It wasn't enough to trigger it to be a brand new development application. It was enough that in mind they were addressing the concerns raised in the representation. So a couple of the main changes that occurred to the plans. The height of the single dwelling has been reduced from 8.8 metres at the top of the apex of the pitched roof down to 7.585 metres. So that's a reduction of nearly 1.3 metres. They've been able to do that. In order to do that, they've had to cut into the site, and hence now we have some retaining walls that form part of the revised plans. The southern setback was also able to be increased from 1.6 metres now to 2.6 metres. That then pushed the dwelling slightly further to the north, but also because of the V shape of the dwelling, they were able to, I suppose, reduce the extent of the V, if that makes sense, to bring that extra metre setback. Amended shadow diagrams were submitted, and it clearly now shows that the original performance criteria of overshadowing is no longer reliant on the performance criteria. In actual fact, the new outcome satisfies the acceptable solution for shadowing. Bearing in mind, we can't consider the glazed door. The glazed door was not to a habitable room, as per the definition of the planning scheme, so we've only got to consider the single kitchen window, which is the one that we need to consider. So the application is recommended for approval with conditions, and conditions are relating to those amended plans to be included. Put that forward.
Thank you very much for that, Rebecca. Can I have somebody move Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Councillor Fever, you'd like to speak to it?
It was a pleasure to support the officer's recommendation with this particular application and noting the conditions. I just really wrapped when we read applications, sometimes there's argy-bargy between the representors and the proponent. The proponent has done a lot of significant changes here to make the representative more happy and have a, you know, more habitable life. So I congratulate them on that.
Councillor Chappell.
I'd like to agree with Councillor Beaver and that they were able to make some amendments which have made it a much better application.
Anybody here would like to speak against this development application?
I'd just like to ask a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
That's okay. So the, how does the representator feel? Have you been able to ascertain what... Is there been a response?
So to date, at the time of writing the application and to today, we haven't had a response in terms of whether they're satisfied or otherwise. But they have been provided the amended set of drawings to consider.
Okay. But that was only recently. So
that was before, obviously, the writing of the application.
Yeah. This has a lot of buildings on a sort of small space, smallish space. I'm just, the planning permit conditions, I mean, they're there and I know that this is how it is, but how do we actually in practice make sure that, you know, the stormwater and wastewater is actually maintained on site? Because it is quite excessive, two residences, this, you know, there's a lot on this block and then that's what we say they have to do, yeah.
So as far as at planning stage, unless the stormwater specific area plan is triggered, we don't generally need to consider stormwater and wastewater. They have obviously shown and considered those as part of their placement of buildings, as well as to the point that they actually have to have 4 water storage tanks, including firefighting, on their site plan. So there has been some initial consideration of those matters as they lead into and post development approval, as they lead into their building approval, that's when particularly their plumbing permits will consider all of the above concerns in terms of stormwater and wastewater management. But it's always good at that initial concept sort of layout is to consider what application area you do need for each of those on-site infrastructure to be provided, which they have obviously had some merit and some consideration to that at this early stage. So it's sort of one of those ones that I note that you're concerned, Councillor, in terms of that there seems to be a lot of buildings on this site, but in terms of the actual zoning, that particular purpose zone, they do meet the site coverage of that. So we do have a site coverage which is 30%, and they are actually under that. So the zone or the particular purpose in this instance actually has a sort of a threshold that is actually even more than what they're proposing on this site. So the expectation could have actually been more as well.
Thank you very much for indulging me in my questions. Thank you.
No, if we have no further questions, I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rebecca. The Mayor is to advise the Council has now concluded its meeting as a planning authority under Regulation 29, the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2025. Can I have somebody move that we go out of closed, out of planning? Councillor Johnston and seconded Councillor Whittaker. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.9.1 is outstanding matters. John, is there anything you would like to bring to anyone's attention or councillors to John?
Happy to take questions, Mr. Mayor.
Any questions to John? Councillor Chappell.
On page 295, General Manager, just in regards to the future potential production forests in Breakaday. That's extra words there. We've obviously popped that on our website. Do we do anything else with that at this time, that statement that Council's come through with? Do we advise the Minister or...?
off the top of my head, I'm unsure, but I'll check in relation to that.
Any further questions? Okay.
Oh, sorry, I do. Sorry, Mayor.
Councillor Johnston.
On page 297, about the budget for a full-time weed officer and a full-time animal control officer, I'm just wondering, it says here a report is to be prepared for Council as part of its next budget cycle. I'm just wondering how that happens.
So, as part of the papers for consideration during the development of the budget. Prior to finalisation, there will be a report which will come to a budget workshop for account, which sets out all the costs, etc., for council conversation prior to finalisation of the budget.
I just do note that there's more invasive weeds at the moment. In one of the reports here, foxglove has now been identified as another weed that we have in our municipality.
Any further questions? If not, we'll move on to 26.10.0, petitions, which we have nil. 26.11.0, notice of motions, which we have nil. And 26.12.1 is the Mayor's communications for the period ending 16th of February. Have we got any questions? Councillor Carter?
I could ask a question. It does come up in the General Manager's report as well. Just in terms of a meeting with the Premier, I'm wondering if there's anything we could be told in regards to the new spirit and the local visitation and the coastal camping stuff, because I guess it is a very important part of what happens in our community and it needs to be managed appropriately. Just wondering if there's anything to report from the conversation with the Premier.
Basically, we had the conversation about the potential 40% increase of visitation. What is their plans? Just asking them, because at the moment we have zero communication with moving forward. And as Mayor, I'm very concerned about the impost that could happen on council. If we have an extra 40% and we have a percentage of that is going to be camping, we also have extra expectation on dump point usage, toilets, barbecues and waste. We need to understand what that impost may be on council and what is being considered by government. And we just keep raising these sort of things as concerns that we see, and we discuss it with the Premier, some of our issues that we see moving forward, trying to understand how that could affect us as a council.
So did you get any indication of response from him?
No, they took it on board. Basically, I suppose a lot of councils around Tasmania are going to be very similar. The potential of 35 to 40% increase in visitation is going to have an effect across all accommodation. Camping is just a part of it. But I'm also concerned of being proactive as a council to make sure we understand our dump point facilities. Do we need to increase our dump point facilities? And we need to budget for that. Do we need new dump point facilities in different areas? It's what we're trying to ascertain so that we can understand, I suppose, strategically moving forward, what our council needs to have in our line of sight as costs that has got to be budgeted for. Any other questions? If not, we'll go to 26.12.2 as councillors' reports for the period ending 16th of February. Break a Day Chamber of Commerce and Tourism. Deputy Mayor Chappell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a meeting last Tuesday, the 3rd. I'll send this through to you, Linda, if you like. And just a brief update there, the Treasurer has actually resigned, so they'll be looking for a new person to fill that position. And they're obviously putting that out to the community members who are part of Chamber to see if there's anybody that would like to take on that role. They've approved a $500 donation to the Bakaday Regional Arts event that they'll have in winter. Aquatic Centre update from Sue Rigney, who was doing acting on behalf of the community, I think, and she provided an update for Chamber in regards to where things were at with that, and that she's been doing a lot of work walking out and about and talking to people about it and pushing the survey as well. She's done an amazing job there, so that's good. The President's working on an Aboriginal recognition statement on behalf of Chamber at the moment, but that's a work in progress, so I don't have any further details on that one. And it was brought to our attention that Chamber is now going to speak to Parks and Wildlife, as there seems to have been plenty of issues at the parking at the St Columba Falls car park, especially when big vehicles are going in there and parking with their caravans and their big
things, and then they're hence making no room for anybody else to park or for people to escape back out of there. Talking whether there needs to be more, you know, no large vehicle signs or something like that, actually letting people know that it's not really a good spot to take your caravan. So Chamber actually going to write a letter to Parks and Wildlife in regards to that. They didn't mention whether they wanted council support on that one yet, but I'll follow up with them. Thank you.
NRM Special Committee, Councillor Johnston.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. First of all, I want to thank the staff of the NRM Committee. We've got two now, and they're doing a wonderful job. Look, at the moment, we've got a meeting in May, but we've got expressions of interest, a general expressions of interest out to participate in the NRM Committee. I know of at least three people with great interest in being involved, so that's good. And so I'm looking forward to getting some enthusiastic community members volunteering for that committee with skills, etc. So that's where we're at with that.
Thank you. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Fairbairn.
Thank you. The next meeting is Thursday week at the Bayside, 10 o'clock. And Tasmanian Tourism is coming to do an industry update at Panorama on April the 15th from 10 to 12 for anyone who's interested.
Thank you. Okay. Mental Health Action Group, nothing. Access Inclusion Advisory Committee, as Kylie, Councillor Wright is not here. Councillor Carter.
Thank you. We needed to postpone our last formal meeting due to the fact that we didn't have a chair. The staff nor the councillors were available. But I did go to a recent Disability Commissioner meeting at the Portland Hall last week. I just wanted to report that we have some information to take back to that committee. But the other thing that was said in there, which was significant, I think, is that we're one of the few councils that are as active as we are with access and inclusion in our community. So I think the Commissioner was quite appreciative of the amount of interest that Breaker Day takes in terms of access and inclusion.
Well done. Firefighters Master Plan.
Normal statement I make, which is there's been no meeting. We're still waiting for the formal sign-off and approval so it can go to its final phase of community consultation.
It's a work in progress. Thank you. St Mary's Exhibition Building Committee, Councillor Johnston.
Now, again, I want to start with thanks to the committee itself, to Joan and Jake and all the committee members. They're doing an awesome job. And our next meeting will be in April. It's been deferred only because we've put a draft information out for the engineering person, and that person won't be available till April, so we'll be having the meeting on site with him. I would like to thank, via Jake, I'm assuming, but there's maintenance works that are being done on the building. And it's the community is well aware of that. They're checking it all out. And from updates from the community, they're hearing from the community reps too. They're out there talking it up. And there's genuinely an excited buzz around the community about things moving along with exhibition building. So April.
Good news, good news. Well done, Councillor Johnston.
And the team, they're pretty awesome.
Thank you. 26.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Rao.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, councillors.
Rao, would you like to walk us through this one?
Certainly. Councillors, as usual, the Corporate Services report is provided monthly. And there's a detailed officer's report there, and I'll just go through the key points for you. We had the audit office here undertaking their initial audit for this financial year. That took nearly 4 days with us, but everything went to plan, and there were no significant findings that we needed to deal with. But, thanks to the Corporate Services Coordinator and our Senior Rates Officer for their assistance during that time. The request for quote for our ICT service provider is now closed. We've got four really good submissions for that, and we're just working through an assessment process, and we'll have some information for you at the next workshop in relation to that. The investment portfolio continues to perform well. It remains above our budget expectations, but as we know, the world is a very interesting place at the moment, so it's difficult to budget for those things, but we're on the right side of the ledger, so that's good. And we undertook some training in relation to SharePoint during the period as well. And in preparation for the budget, I'm looking at our rates and charges policy and our financial management strategy and long-term financial plan, which all need to be updated and brought to you for discussion to inform our budget process. And beyond that, Mayor, if councillors have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you, Ray. Can I have somebody move the officer's report? Councillor Carter, seconded Councillor Johnson. Any questions to Ray on the report? Councillor Johnson.
It's a question, but it's also just maybe a little bit more of an explanation, just so that I understand. And it's so just above investments, it says, it's the paragraph that talks about preparation works also continue on a number of core annual activities, including a review of rates and policy, rates and charges policy. It's just, do you mind just explaining that a bit more? Because I feel like we've done our rates policy where we've said it's going to go up by this much for a period of time. So it's just, is this just common work or...?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to answer that, Mayor, through you. So, Councillor Johnson, yes. I think... So our long-term financial plan has assumptions around the level of rate increases we require,
yes,
to fund our normal operations under a set of assumptions.
Yep.
The rates and charges policy is more a high-level policy that we bring forward every year for us all to discuss,
yep,
and that we continue to be on the same page as far as the way we go about levying rates. And that goes to things like capacity to pay. Are we looking at continuing the same differential rating structure that we currently have? So it's more about the high level approach that we take in relation to rates and charges,
yep,
than it is about setting a rate as, yep, such. That's more part of the budget discussions that we have. And the financial management strategy as well, it's more a check-in with councillors to say, are we still going in this direction? And in the term of this council, there hasn't really been any major rewrite of either of those documents, but we bring them forward each year so that it's just a bit of a reminder, and also just a sense check that we all still agree that that's the right direction.
So it's a review of current stuff that then comes to us to say, are we all on the same page?
Yeah, and then that informs the modelling that we do in relation to budgeting and everything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that
clarification.
No worries. Any further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried. Unanimous. Thank you. 26.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Rao, would you like to go through this one for us, please?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor and councillors. As usual, I've listed some notes at the end of the profit and loss statement there. I have actually got some a bit more detail this month for you, because it's showing like a fairly significant variance on budget, and I think it's important that you all get a bit of an idea of where that's coming from. When you look at it on the surface, we're tracking well in front of... We expected to have a small operating deficit this year. We're looking like we're going to have, on paper there at the moment, quite a significant operating surplus. But what we need to keep in mind is that there's a lot of our expenditure in relation to materials, in particular at this time of the year, we do a lot of planning and we do a lot of delivery later in the year. So you can be assured that that projection, I think at this stage we can be assured that there won't be a deficit, but I don't think the operating surplus will be anywhere near what is on the papers at the moment. We have had some really positive variances, though, where, you know, user fees, for example, are $112,000 higher than budget, and that's predominantly to do with building activity and building surveying services that we provide. The operating grants are 16% above budget. You know, our interest and investment income is $71,000 above budget. Contributions, for example, which is public open space, we didn't know that was coming, is $59,000 over budget. So it's those small things that all add up to a better operating position than what we could have budgeted for at the start of the year. On the flip side of that, the expenditure side of things, we're not spending as much on staff as we expected to. And that's more to do with timing than anything else. Materials and services are down, as I say, but I think we'll catch up on that as the year goes on. So there's minor variances there where in the expenditure side they're positive for us and in the revenue side they're positive for us. So that all goes to say that we're actually tracking pretty well. But there are also things that are very hard to budget for when you set your budget at the start of the year. So, councillors, if you have any specific questions, I'm happy to answer them. But hopefully that gives you a bit more detail into why that looks, the variance looks so different.
Can I just remove the opposite of the recommendation? Councillor Feeder, Secretary Councillor Shapel.
Any questions to Raoul on this?
Can I just say thank you for the explanation? The financial stuff for me is an interesting one. So thank you for that, because the variances, you know, do jump out at me. So the explanations are very helpful. It is quite interesting that we're getting quite a bit more in the, what is it called, user pay services around, it's around development applications, is it? Yes.
Well, it's around our building surveying services.
Building surveying services. And we're one of only a few councils that do that. Is that correct?
One of only two.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Ralph, when I joined council in 2014, I think we're about $10 million in debt. And now, due to lots of great financial work, it's less than two. When do you expect we'll get to an even stage?
It's a really interesting question, Councillor Feeder. We, towards the end of this financial year, we could well be sitting down and asking whether we should be paying down the last of that debt. But the long-term financial plan suggests we pay it down, I think, in 2 years' time. It'll depend on where we start to land towards the end of the financial year. But we are in a very good position to be paying down the rest of that debt within the next 2 years. Yep.
Obviously, that discussion is important for the wider community to hear, and they can because it's being audioed. So,
yeah. No, look, I agree with you. I think it was it last year that we paid down a significant amount of debt in advance, and we're tracking very well this year as well. We could potentially pay down the rest, which, you know, actually goes to the fact that as you as a group of councillors have made some very prudent financial decisions during your term.
I think, Rao, it's a really good thing, the question that Barry asked, and when we also remember 14 years ago, or 12 years ago, when you come on, Barry, we'd just gone through a massive 82 bridges were being upgraded, stormwater in the main street, massive amount of capital projects. And for a small council to take on the amount of responsibility and cost for our community and pay it down, we're doing pretty damn well. And I think people obviously do recognise that, because we have that financial comfort now to be able to pay it off and have no debt.
And just adding to that, Mr. Mayor, just in relation to that, it's great to be in that position too, because it gives us We've got some expenditure coming up in relation to waste management, particularly, say, the new waste handling facility at Skamand, which a couple of $1 million type investment in some of this sort of stuff. So to be able to have the flexibility to be able to, if needed, take some borrowings, that's certainly got an option there. But and that's a long-term investment, like 20-plus year type investment, so it's fine to fund that through borrowings.
Councillor Feeder.
I actually like the term comfort because it makes me feel comfortable. If we suffer flood, fire, famine, whatever, another COVID in the next 2 or 3 years, we're not so far in debt that we can't help. We're in a position where we can help and work through a situation like that.
Absolutely. And look, that's a really important point. It's one of the things we've spoken about previously is also moving away from reliance on federal assistance grants. And we've done a really good job of moving towards a position of comfort where if they don't forward pay, it doesn't materially impact us the way it would have previously. So, I think we're in a good position.
Any other questions? If not, I'm going to take that to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. And look, we'll just stop now for a 10-minute break if everybody would like to make a cup of coffee.
Thanks, councillors.
Thank you.
Thank you. 26.14.5 of the Working Infrastructure Report. Good morning, David. Would you like to come forward and thrill us for this report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors.
There's no pressure.
I'll do my best. So the only thing I really want to bring before you, it's just an interesting today, is the Air Force will be back in St Helens today, and there'll be a Hercules around 1:30 doing touch and goes at the St Helens Aerodrome as part of pilot training. So no doubt there'll be a crowd up there watching that. Capital works are progressing really well, and the big road job at the moment is Mangana Road, which started this morning. So it's the next 300 metre segment of roadway. It's where the old pine trees used to be. Pine trees, the roots have got under the road, and now they've perished, and the road's collapsing. So Mangana Road.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's quite a bit of extensive work. Just want to bring to your attention the Wellborough bulk waste bin facility. I've had cause to write to the residents about the misuse of the bin facility and the dumping of prohibited items on the site, and essentially ask them to comply with the requirements that come with having a key to the gate and use of that facility. We'll monitor that and we'll come back and have some more discussion about it in a workshop forum. And in terms of strategies, there's two large strategies which have now been drafted and are undergoing internal review. It's the waste strategy and the transport master plan. The parking strategy for St Mary's is now drafted, ready for internal review before it comes to you.
Thank you very much, David. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions to David? Councillor Johnston.
First of all, I just want to say there's been lots of thanks from members of the community in St Mary's about the wonderful slashing of the side bits. So it's really made people feel less in danger of fire or other things jumping out of them. I just wondered also, can you tell me what Pretty Spurge is? Sorry, it's here under Stiglitz. Petty Spurge. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't really know what it is. It's just a weed that Caelan identified. I don't know much about it apart from what's reported there.
All right. I know that there's sea spurge. I just wondered if it was a variant of that.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Carr?
It's not a question. It's much the same as what Councillor Johnson just said. I'm getting a lot of comments from different towns in regards to the maintenance regimes at the moment that are very much appreciated.
And David, I think it would be quite important for everybody to realise State Growth is doing the resealing work in the main street starting, is it the 19th?
Later this week. Thursday, I think.
Through the 23rd, nighttime resealing works and that. So everybody.
Is that Main Street of St Helens?
St Helens, from the bridge to Fylde Street intersection. So there will be a bit of disruption, but it'll be well and truly needed and needs to be done.
And I think they are
pretty serious.
I think they learned some lessons from the work they did on Quayle Street last year in peak time, so they're moving the roadworks to a sensible hour.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.14.2 is the animal control report. David.
So thank you, Mayor and Councillors. This here is a summary of activity in the last month. I would just note that we've now issued infringement notices to a large number of people for failing to register their dogs by the due date. We're getting some mixed feedback on that matter, but by and large, most of those people have not acted yet to deal with the issue of outstanding registrations.
That's really good, David. Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Fever. Any questions to David on this? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.14.3, policy review of the water refill station policy, David.
Thank you, Mayor and Councillors. The recommendation is that the policy be accepted without amendment. It was reviewed and we didn't think that an amendment at this point was necessitated, so hence it's before you for endorsement.
Thank you. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions? Councillor Johnston?
Can you just give me a quick summary, if you know, where these refill stations are? Thank you.
There's one at Scamander, one at Memorial Park. We have one up at St Mary's at the community space.
And one at Lions Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wondering how, because I'm happy with the policy. I'm just wondering how it works. You know where, you know, about accessibility, where they are basically,
Criterion. So that talks about somewhere down there. Yep. And so that's the basic set of criteria for you to consider where they might want to go.
So it's not, so when we look at the policy, it would be the council that identifies the areas. It wouldn't be, or could it be people coming and saying, you know, we've got more people now, for example, in Fingal where the kids go and play and whatever.
Yeah, so anybody can raise the issue of a water refill station with us. It's not just you. But what happens is there's a policy here that guides the decision making around that.
Okay, that's right.
Thank you. Further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, David. And 26.15.1 is the Community Services Report. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, councillors.
Chris, would you like to walk us through your report,
Certainly. Can I just provide an update in regards to Councillor Carter's question this morning? That you were speaking on behalf of one of the community members. It's before the regional manager, our application. It has been recommended for approval, but until we get it signed, we just have to go with that at this stage. Yeah. We are down on some mentors for the learner driver, so if anyone knows of any people that would like to join our learner driver mentoring program, please send them our way. Just on an update today, we've had quite a few phone calls where people now want to run with that service. We think it may be due to the increase in fuel. But we can't service them at the moment because we don't have enough mentors. So if you hear of anyone that would like to help us out in that regard and become a mentor, please send them our way.
Anything else?
No, Mayor, unless someone's got any questions.
No worries. Have somebody moved the officer's recommendation, Councillor Johnston, second Councillor Oldham. And any questions to Chris, please? Councillor Johnston?
Just on that,
They don't actually teach the person to drive. It's to assist the person who's going for a licence to get their hours up. So they just have to... we can give them some pointers. We'll put them through an induction process. We can give them some pointers about what we've learnt from the examiners. Yeah. But they basically just have to have a current licence, obviously, but yeah. They just have to sit in the car with them.
It's not a question, it's a comment. It's just great to notice the triathlon challenge feedback. I think it's something that's highly valuable in terms of what we do around the place and how effective it is. So I hope that becomes a significant trend for everybody.
Councillor Johnston.
Sorry, just the scope of works around the rail trail with Cornwall. I just wondered, I can see we've got some information there. Is anything beyond that happening?
Through you, Mayor, they're still logging out of that area, so until they cease that, we can't go in. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got no further comments. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 26.15.2 is the visitor information centre report. Chris?
Thank you, Mayor. I believe the report is very self-explanatory. Just to note the number of people that are touring from overseas and visiting our area. And like I've mentioned before, these people do an amazing job at this centre. Yeah.
Can I have somebody move the report to be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Whittaker. Any comments on the report? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Chris. 26.16.1 is the Development Services Report. And good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Mayor and Councillors.
Your report, please.
Sure thing. As you note there in the report, we do have a couple of vacancies and sadly have lost our senior planner. Deb was a fantastic staff member and we'll certainly miss her skill sets. That does result in a delay of a couple of the strategic projects that she was handling. We are getting on with that recruitment as soon as possible, so hopefully that'll be out there within the next week or so and be hard to fill her shoes. Approvals remain steady, probably slightly ahead of last financial year, both in the planning and building space and also the Falmouth toilet. We've met on site with Parks and Wildlife. They're really happy with the outcome there. And they're also looking at some additional signage in relation to the birds as well as the protection of the coastal area there. So, it's all come together, I think. Happy to take questions.
Thank you, Jack. Can I have somebody move the officer's report be received? Councillor Johnston, second Councillor Oldham. Any questions to Jake on the Development Services report? Councillor Fever?
Really interesting with the water quality. The figures on March the 16th, I haven't been swimming in some of those lagoons for the last couple of months, and a couple of them smell incredibly, yet they're still in the good category. Can you just, if you have knowledge on it, explain how that comes about? Because I would have thought that'd be an absolute no-go zone.
Yeah, I mean, obviously our through you, Mayor, the testing is limited in terms of what we are testing for. In terms of the smell, and the results can vary depending on the rain events and bits and pieces like that, which explains the 141 back in December at Yarmouth Creek. In terms of, we get out there and physically test the water and send them away for testing and... We just act on whatever those results are.
Any further questions, Councillor Johnston?
Jake, thank you for the report. Around the Falmouth toilet and the discussions that you had with Parks around signage, I just wondered if that also included no vehicles on the beach, because I had the opportunity... 2 or 3 weeks ago, I happened to be down there looking at the fact that someone had driven across and slept sort of where the lagoon used to be, in a van overnight, and parks had been called as well, and we had a conversation about signage, not only the bird stuff, but the actual, well, it's about birds, but no vehicle access. Was that part of the discussion?
Yeah, through you, Mayor, that the meeting that we had was subsequent to Councillor Johnson's discussion with them on site, and they noted that those conversations, they've got an internal process of conducting a reserves activity assessment, which takes some time internally, but, yeah, they're well aware of the issues and proposed to install signage to that effect.
OK. I'm sorry that I'm being a bit parochial here. This is about the Falmouth Community Centre. There's a meeting scheduled to do the final scope of work, I note. There are still people, neighbouring the community centre, a couple, where the lighting is not actually going, the light, and I know it's not ours, I know it's whoever is responsible, the state group or whatever that's responsible for street lighting. It's our one street light. It actually doesn't shine down onto the community centre. It actually shines into the neighbour. And I just wondered if we've got any scope to have a conversation with them to maybe, instead of having it shining into the neighbour's place, that it actually shines into the where the parking is for the community centre.
Through you, Mayor, that is my intention to discuss that with the committee. Those concerns have been raised directly with us, and I will seek the committee's advice in terms of whether or not they'd like that relocated or removed.
Thank you. No further questions? I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.16.2, protection of the scenic natural values.
In Deb's absence. Council officers are well aware of the regulatory deficiencies that the Strata Titles Act has. It was it's dated 1998. Subsequent to that...
Just a second, mate.
Yeah, sorry.
I think Councillor Chappell was, before we got too heavily into this, was moving a motion. So whilst we can see what's happening there...
I didn't want to come.
No, look.
No worries.
I can save you talking if you like.
That's part of the job. So, Councillor Chappell, before we let Jake go too far down the track, would you like to bring up your point?
Absolutely. I've just got concerns the fact that Councillor Johnston wasn't at the workshop in March where we wanted to discuss this, and we previously made the decision to defer it to allow that discussion to happen, that I feel that we need to defer these four items that we need to talk to another workshop to allow that discussion to happen and then to bring it back to a council meeting for a decision. So it will be the same procedural motion for the four. So I'd like to defer this decision to go back to the workshop for the proper discussions that need to happen.
Now, John, please help me with this. As this is a procedural motion, there is no discussion.
No.
I just need a seconder. Mm-hmm. Councillor Carter. And I will take this straight to the vote. Now, the procedural motion, would you please have this up on the screen so everybody is fully aware of where the procedural motion is for the next four items?
Defer this item to the April Council workshop.
Okay. And we can do them, Councillor Chappell, sorry to impose, but are we doing these individually,
yes,
the
Mr.
same
Mayor.
Motion four
yes,
times
Mr.
for
yes,
the next
Mr.
four
Mayor.
Items?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so that's what we're going to vote on. Procedural motions being moved and seconded. That the next four...
We'll do four separate motions.
Four separate motions, okay.
Do this one and then the next one. Thank you.
How did you do it each time? Sit down.
You get less pay this week, Kate. You do less talking. Okay, we're going to take this straight to the vote. All in favour? Carried. We'll move straight to 20.
Carried unanimous.
Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.16.3. Councillor, same procedural motion seconded by Councillor Whittaker. No discussion. I take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. We will move on to 26.16.4. Councillor Chappell, same procedural motion, moved by seconded by Councillor Whittaker. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. And 26.16.5, Councillor Chappell. Same procedural motion, seconded by Councillor Carter. Take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've had enough today, Councillor.
Thank you,
Jay.
Bring it to the workshop.
Thank you. So 26.17.1 is the General Manager's report. So, John, would you like to proceed?
Probably just, as you're happy to take questions, Mr. Mayor, there wasn't anything I particularly needed to add to the particular items which are there.
Okay, can I have somebody move the General Manager's report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to the General Manager on his report? Councillor Chappell.
I note in your report that it mentions, hopefully, the majority of people online get to see the front of the police station. Is there a possibility for us to have a look at it?
Without doing anything incriminating, sorry, Mr. Mayor, I saw the range. We could get her in there real quick, couldn't we, at the opening, but
I would actually be interested to have a look at the facility itself, but I'm not sure how other councillors feel.
I think we have to allow the General Manager to talk to the inspector to be fair.
It just would be nice that we've been a part of that process.
So three, Mr. Mayor, if councillors are interested, I can see if we can arrange a visit without the
handcuffs,
without it being due to behaviour or something else, so out of interest. So
we've got a couple that might make. Okay, any councillor Fever?
I'd just like to commend the GM on his commentary there. Those people unfortunate enough to be provided with temporary accommodation, it has a high level of comfort.
I thought it was important for people to understand that, like, it's there. It's functional. It's really okay. It's not a dirt floor or anything like that. So
Councillor Johnson.
Telstra mobile phone tower. You know, this was quite a big thing for us to do, what we did as council in the planning space, and then also the work that the mayor and others have done to get Telstra to come up here. John, you were at the meeting. It's disappointing to see that, I don't know if that's the right word, but anyway, that we only did have 17 people there. I would be interested to know sort of how it went.
Through Mr. Mayor, it was done as a one-on-one, so people came in at different times because they were there for like 4 hours, or was it 5 hours? 4 hours. And so it's when people could spare the time. A lot were at the front end, and there was a couple towards the back end, but it was all done more one-on-one. Really, it was more around general interest. Mm-hmm. And that, so they talked about the sites they'd looked at and why they'd had to pick this particular site there as well. So, frankly, I thought more could have turned up because it was deliberately picked for a day where it could, and putting a spread of time there. I know it's a public holiday, but then that meant anyone that wasn't at work, it opened up to them as well. So, but anyway, I have to thank Telstra for the fact that they did this, and they had probably, I think, might have been half a dozen reps there. So they put in a fair commitment of resource to it. So,
I was just going to make a comment just to reinforce what the GM's saying. As much as I was opposed to the aesthetic of it, when you sit down and listen to those people explain the connectivity and the reasoning behind what they did, I don't think it was totally, you know, my early impression was it was just another big organisation making a decision in their own best interests. But I got a genuine impression from that conversation that they were doing most of those things just was the science and the common sense of the circumstance rather than their own personal convenience.
No further questions to the General Manager. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. And 26.17.2, NTDC, John.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is the quarterly report up until the end of December for NTDC. Been through there to provide a good outline of what they've had going on during that particular time. I think the important things to note moving forward are that coming up towards that the new service agreement, and also they're talking about doing an updated strategic plan which would involve council in that process, which is important to set the future direction moving forward, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions to... first I'll get somebody to move. Councillor Chappell, seconded. Councillor Carter. Any questions to John on this report for NTDC? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 26.17.3. Proposed redistribution of the Tasmanian Electoral Division. And John, would you like to start this one off? Because I get a little bit carried away if I have to have much to say on this.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And obviously I got a little bit carried away when I formulated my report because it got censored by someone who reviewed it for me, because I looked at what they were proposing in relation to Lyons, and there was perplexed, bamboozled. Some of the rationale I thought was absolute garbage. And I'm thinking, how do you join Breakaday with Glenorchy and think there's communities of interest and there's logic in that? Yes, it's a numbers game. It's all about one vote, one person, or one person, one vote, the quality of voting. But at the end of the day, we have strong linkages more to the Bass electorate. I'm arguing that we probably should be moved out of line. So when you look at it from the communities of interest perspective, we have stronger connections with Bass than we do with Glenorchy, which, if you think about the numbers, Glenorchy is a large inner city, inner capital city council area with a substantial population there as well, whereas traditionally the biggest council in the Breakaday area used to be Brighton, which is no longer in the Lyons electorate. Used to be Brighton, but that's no longer in the Lyons electorate. Sorrell's no longer in the Lyons electorate. They've just carved these ones out and then ducked around them to put Glenorchy in with us. So when I look at some of this sort of stuff and think, really, it really puts us as an outlier within the geographic area, and I'm just struggling to understand where those community connections are. And yes, this comes back to purely a numbers game in relation to how they do this. So I don't know, Mr. Mayor, I've got no logical explanation to support what they've provided in this as a thing. So.
Well, John, personally, I've been absolutely disgusted with the way that they've gone about this proposed redistribution. The AEC and the bureaucrats sitting in Canberra have got no idea whatsoever what regional rural Tasmania is. One of the strong conditions of redistribution is community of interest. Can anybody please explain to me what the community of interest is with Glenorchy? There's zero. Community of interest with Glenorchy is to stay in Clark. They have the four greater mayors of Hobart, being Kingborough, Clarence, Glenorchy and Hobart, working together on their transport modules, light rail. All of the things of a community of interest is Glenorchy staying in Clark. Not one thing. What scares me, if we don't put out a very strong media release this afternoon against this, as LGAT president, I've wrote to the AEC requesting a month extension, and they've came back and said no. Under their legislation, they will not give an extension. We was not notified about this. You only picked it up because we've got people in the know who told us this is happening. Otherwise, we would not have even known that they're doing this. And the submissions close on the 27th of March. It's a disgrace. The AEC should feel ashamed of themselves. They've got bureaucrats just playing with numbers on a computer, and that's what it'll do. And we should not accept it. We should have a very strong media release this afternoon against this, and we should be putting in a very strong submission against this. And if we don't, we'll find that the next Lions, a next election, whether it's state or federal, all the candidates will be coming out of Glenorchy, because that's where all the votes are. All the money and commitments for grants will go to Glenorchy, because that's where the population is. This is the actual downfall of regional rural Tasmania if the AEC continues on this stupidity that they are actually going down. So I've said my piece. I was going to be nice and quiet, and I've kept it really together because I'm not very happy with the way they're treating us. So I'll now ask somebody to move and second the Council Manager's General. Councillor Chappell, Secretary Councillor Fever, and I'm going to open it up to the floor for everybody's thoughts. Councillor Chappell, you've got your hand up.
I'm not going to be very nice about it.
Good.
And I'm not going to be censored either. So to me, this is a math problem that they need to be solved and not a community to be represented. I'm absolutely disgusted with this. Moving the focus south central, that's what they're calling it, effectively moves us to the edge of the conversation once again. We felt this before, but it is going to be even more. My deepest concern, I've got two really big concerns, effective representation. Who is going to want to come up here to our electorate? They'll be stretched so thin. Why would they come up here for a small amount of votes? Because that's what it's going to come down to. They're going to stay down south. They're going to be pulled down there to the urban area. We've got no connection to Glenorchy at all. I mean, I'm baffled by it. So basically, unfortunately, we've got some really good representatives that come up here now, but why would they need to be coming up here? And it's just too hard for them to do that. We don't have, my other thing is what John's point there, we don't have any connections down there. We look to Bass, we send our kids to school in Launceston. We do business in Launceston. We're part of the NTDC. We've just had their report. We access all our healthcare in Launceston. We need, actually, just to be linked to Bass. I'm sorry, when you look at the numbers, like the 82,000 for this electorate, maximum of 90,000 for that electorate, there is room to actually move us into Bass. And then we don't even have to deal with this anymore. And that, to me, is the absolute what should be happening. Not even worrying about it, but I just don't get their theory, and I don't agree with them not allowing the extension either. And this, me reading the agenda on Wednesday last week was the first time I'd heard about it, which I think is absolutely appalling.
Councillor Chappell, please don't hold back.
I'm not. I'm angry.
Has anybody else got any comments on this? Councillor Fever.
Yes, I support everything that's been said. We've been discriminated against.
And I'll just throw in that, having spoken to an ex-Lions politician, only left in the last couple of years, they informed me they did 3,000 kilometres a week. So if you take one day a week off, that's 3,000 over 6 days, that's 500 k's a day on average. So they're in the car for at least 5 hours. And that is just not workable, and you just can't represent the people that you're meant to be representing.
Councillor Johnston.
And just allow me before you jump. I think, and this is not about Lions, I think the, first of all, yes, we didn't find out about it. I found out about it actually via Facebook, text. Someone sent me something saying, did you see this? And I go, oh, that's wrong. That was my response. Oh, they couldn't be doing that. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I think the way they've been trying to do Clark, Franklin, the general gist of what the AEC is looking at, I feel like they are trying to get the community of interest sorted. But we, as Breaker Day, are literally left out, like on the edge of what I would call nearly the world. We've just been left. And so for me, I absolutely agree that we should be with BASS. There's no question about that. I think, but I suppose I'm coming from it in a different angle. That is where our community of interest is. What they've tried to do, you know, to bring Franklin together across ones, I mean, that's massive. That's completely changed. So has Clark. You know, so I see all of that. But we have just been left out there. And that, for me, is, I don't know if the word is indicative of how what we've called the Canberra bureaucrats have looked at. They've just gone, oh, that's okay. It's just a group in regional northeast Tasmania that is already forgotten anyway. So we'll just leave it as it is. So I'm not sure how you want to do your media release, but I would really very much support us talking about our area of interest. Our community of interest is obviously BASS. Well, the relationships, not just with us, with there, but with the people of Launceston and the north, with us, there's this exchange. It's, you know, historic. People know that. So for me, I absolutely agree we should be in BASS, no question, and that's where our community of interest is. I don't know why we weren't before, to be honest. It's like, it feels like this is the greatest opportunity for those bureaucrats, as you've said, to actually go, oh, well, actually, now we can actually sort it where they should have been. So my feeling is, yes, I absolutely agree that that's where we should be. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And that it is, Lyons has slowly become a southern electorate over the years as we've lost to the west and wherever. So, and as you've said, I've spoken with people in Glenorchy and they don't want to be part of Lyons. So that, and you probably have access to the councillors, or the mayor at least, that is obviously they need to continue to stay in Clark.
The mayor of Glenorchy has put in a media release, which was in the Mercury last week, and they've also put in submissions are totally opposed to being in Lyons.
Yeah.
Councillor Brown.
Just want to note one thing, Mr. Mayor. When they talk about communities of interest and the connection of some of the urban areas, they've actually been contradictory in what they've done here. They've actually taken Prospect and Blackstone Heights out of Lyons and put in Launceston because that makes sense to them. Where's the same common sense applied to Glenorchy and Hobart? It's not. They do it here, but then I forget about that down there because it's purely numbers game.
Unfortunately, it's just purely numbers game. John, we're dealing with faceless bureaucrats in Canberra who are doing a computerised assessment based on numbers and just moving lines to make it look pretty and make it work out for the numbers. Absolutely do not care about our community and the ratepayers on the east coast of Tasmania with what they're doing. And we need to tell them in the strongest terms with a submission and our media release that we are not happy, and they should have the courtesy of at least following their own conditions, which is community of interest being one of the biggest factors, because they're ignoring it completely. Anybody else? Councillor Oldham.
I totally agree with what's been said. And originally we were part of BASS.
Oh, really? Okay. Who's that?
And like you said, it's where our community fits with the rest of the state.
Councillor Johnson.
Mayor, can we put... Can we put to them the alternative? Can we put to them the fact that actually we should be with BASS, we should be that Blackstone Heights and others like that, you know, maybe they could stay with Lyons and we, I don't know, it would be good for us to say this is our obvious place.
So, in recommendations to first point in two, re-examine options that more closely align Breakaday with northeast or east coast communities of interest. So we've got northeast in there, or east coast is like the piece, like the east coast of Tasmania with Glamorgan, Spring Bay, and Breakaday. That's recognised as east coast, and we've got those communities of interest through there. But We can enhance that piece a little bit more. We will within our submission.
And I really feel that everybody here is talking about Bass. I mean, that is the obvious, like, for us to talk about really strong communities of interest, if that's our argument, I think it's very important that we emphasise that that's who and why we want to be there. And all the stuff about what you've just raised about the northern, all the big northern councils, we're all hanging out together.
Exactly.
Look, I'll just make sure that John and Jane, and Jane won't use chatbot, she'll write this one herself, a really strong media release and a submission so that we can put our point across and at least we can say we've been heard, because unfortunately the bureaucrats of the AEC in Canberra, they obviously don't take anything into consideration when they're doing this. They're just looking at numbers to fit in something nice for themselves, and they definitely are not considering one of their main points is communities of interest. And the urbanisation of Lyons, it is absolutely wrong. It's cruel that they would even consider doing this, because we will be the losers, regional rural Tasmania on the east coast. We will be the big losers. And you can guarantee the candidates at the next Lyons, the next election, they'll all be generated for the south.
Of course.
So where are we going to be fitted? Where the people in the north just forget about them, you're not worth worrying about.
Yes.
Just picking up on Councillor Oldham's comment, I think we'll probably find that the former Portland Council was in Bass, and then when Breakaway was created, it's probably then combined and went south into Lyons.
So up until
93, I think we might find that Portland was in Bass.
Councillor Whittaker.
On page 439 is exactly what everyone has said. It just says, however, numerical constraints prevented the transfer. So there's no other, as in we've used these five dot points, they've used one, as you said. The numerical constraints prevented the transfer.
The reality is too, Derwent Valley, we probably could go into Lyons and take Glenorchy out if you want to keep somebody more like for like, but I agree with everybody here, we should go with Bass. Councillor Fever.
It's probably an ideal time because the federal government's taken a fearful hammering in the last couple of days regarding fuel and rural areas and, you know, discriminating against them. So we can certainly back onto that.
Any other comments? Okay, well, can I just take it that we will definitely do a very strong media release and we'll do a strong submission, and the points that have been identified through our discussion, the rationale for moving back into Bass, etc., be a very clear justification of our submission.
Not too sensitive, though.
No, I've got to talk to Jane. I'll work on that.
That's a sticker, Mick. Back into Bass.
I've just got to help Jane. She always wants to be nice.
Not too nice, Jane.
Okay, so if everyone's happy with that, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. No more coffee, you've got to go.
That's all right.
You can grab one on the way out.
Thank you. Okay.